Aloha mai kākou. My name is Don Chang, Chair of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. This is the January 27, 2023 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It is now 9:23 a.m. and I'd like to call the meeting to order. We are holding this meeting as a hybrid meeting. Some of us are here in person in the Kalani Moku Building, Boardroom in Honolulu, and we are also holding this meeting remotely via Zoom, and one of our board members may join us by telephone as well, but you can also watch it live on YouTube. For those who are here to testify in Zoom, we will let you into the meeting when we will be hearing the item you wish to testify on. Please remember to turn off your YouTube when you are in the main Zoom meeting room, or we will get an echo. When you enter, please be sure to keep your camera off and microphone muted until the chair calls on you for public testimony. We ask that members of the public testifying on agenda items limit your testimony to 3 minutes so that we can get everyone. Be mindful of, and please remember not to use the chat for any comments because that presents a sunshine issue. People may also testify via telephone at the number posted online. Please let our board secretary, Darlene Ferreira, know your name and what agenda item you wish to testify on so we call you on that item. You can also email your testimony via blnr.testimony@hawaii.gov. For all participants, I would like to stress the importance of speaking slowly, clearly, and directly into our microphone. Please state your name and identify yourself. I will now read the standard contested case statement, which is also included in your agenda. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before. A person who wants a contested case hearing may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It is up to you. Any request must be made in writing within 10 days. If no request for a contested case hearing is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly. I would now like to take roll call of the board members. Please state your name, and if you are participating remotely, please state whether anyone else is in the room with you. I'll start with Riley Smith.
Aloha, good morning. Riley Smith, Hawaii Island member, in person in the Kalani Moku boardroom.
Thank you.
Vernon Char.
Thank you.
Karen Nono, Kauai member.
We also have remotely, Ka'ivi.
Member Kanto, Maui member. I'm in the room alone.
Thank you, Karen.
Ka'ivi Yun, at large, I am in the room alone.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like to also introduce our staff, Darlene Ferreira, who is critical to us doing our business, and without her, we cannot proceed. So I'd also like to introduce our Deputy Attorney General for today, Melissa Goldman. Thank you. Ms. Ferreira, are there any announcements for today? No. All right. Very good. Have there been any items requested for move up?
No.
Very good. And there are no minutes for today, correct?
Correct.
All right. So let's proceed with the agenda. The first item on the agenda is item D1, land division. And I would like to note, while we're waiting for Mr. Tsuji to join us, there are 5 of the board members present and visible. 1, 2, 3, 4, and Ka'ivi Yuen is on his Zoom. So you are able to see 5 of us. Ms. Kanto is on the telephone, but we are able to still proceed. All right, is that Russell or Luke? Who's going to do the present staff submittal?
I'll go ahead and present, and Luke will be here for questions. Yeah, board members, this is a rather simple submittal. We needed to do some housekeeping inadvertently while drafting the lease. It was left out a reopening on the 10th anniversary. So we're coming before the board to reinsert that, asking the board to amend the lease and reinsert that provision, as well as to broaden the scope to a more current form of communication. And we're asking the board to change it in the lease, the purpose of the lease from microwave communications to telecommunications. My staff, Luke Sarvis, is here to answer any questions, as well as the representative from the lessee. Thank
board you. Board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Tsuji? Oh, go ahead.
Commissioner Smith, so Russell, I just wanted to confirm that the applicant is aware of the modification because I didn't see that in the write-up.
They are the ones requesting it. You mean that would change from to telecommunications?
And
the reopening? And the reopening?
The reopening, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Russell, you said the applicant is here. Does the applicant wish to say anything?
Luke, is he here? I don't see him on.
There's a Bryce Novak. He's with their consultant.
Might be trying to call in the waiting room, maybe.
Okay, we'll let him in.
Yeah, you said he'd try to be available for questions.
Okay, he's not in the room. But Luke, you confirmed that the applicant has, they are the ones requesting this and they are well aware of the new conditions?
That's correct, yes.
Is there anyone in the public that would like to testify on this matter? Doreen?
No.
Darlene?
No.
Okay. I'm going to close public testimony. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Thank you very
much. Move approval of staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you very much. A motion. Do we have discussion? Is there any discussion on this matter? Okay, seeing none. A motion has been made to accept item D1, which is the First Amendment to General Lease Number S6160, New Singular Wireless Lessee to Government Lands in Hanapepe. It has been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
Member Canta votes aye.
Thank you very much, Doreen. So we have a unanimous vote. Very good.
Okay, roll call. Thank you.
Oh, we need a roll call?
Yeah, first one you do a roll call.
Oh, first one, okay. Okay. Ah, see, I still am making mistakes. The first one we need a roll call. So, Ms. Ferrer, could you do a roll call vote, please?
Member Smith?
Aye.
Member Tar?
Aye.
Chair Chang?
Aye.
Member Ono?
Aye.
Member Yoon?
Aye.
Member Canto?
Aye.
Thank you very much. The motion has been passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda. Thank you very much, land management staff. As always, your efficient presentation. The next item is item J1. And this is...
Good morning, Chair. This is Richard Howard for Dobor presenting item J1. Item J1 is we're asking the board for authorization to enter into a U.S. government license for real estate with the U.S. Department of Commerce, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, National Weather Service for the installation of a sea level monitoring equipment at the Waianae Small Boat Harbor. This is a housekeeping matter. There previously was a license which has since expired. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center would like to put a gauge at one of the piers and run that to equipment located within the Harbor Building. And the term of this agreement will be for 20 years. That's all. I'll gladly answer any questions if the board has any.
Chair, this is Member Canto. If there are no comments from the board, I'll make a motion to approve as submitted.
Yeah, hold on. I can't see the chair and Karen.
Evie, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just can't see. Yeah, Melissa's trying to point her camera toward you guys. I think one of the cameras is not on.
Oh no.
Okay. Richard, can you hear us?
Yes.
I think he heard
that. I can hear you.
I can hear you fine.
We have our technical expert that just walked in.
Well, Melissa, if it's not a requirement for the board members to be seen, I don't know. Oh, there you go. I can see you guys now. Aha, good.
And then it can reconvene once the connection's restored.
All right, is everybody here? Can you hear us? All right, so Mr. Howard, could you answer the question?
I'm sorry, what was the question? I didn't hear it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Richard. So, Riley. So, you know, my question is, since this is such an important piece of information that NOAA needs to predict tsunami events, is the equipment actually operating today and this is just a housekeeping paper issue?
The equipment is not operating today. They took out the gauge that was at the pier when we did repairs for it. So they're going to reinstall the gauge and hook it up to the equipment. The equipment is still there, but it's not reading anything. So they'll put the gauge back in the water and hook it up to the equipment in the building.
So the lack of it being operational, it's not because of us, it's because of something under their control?
Well, I think, I don't know the full story of what happened. The original license was executed, I believe, in the year 2000. It lapsed, and when we did repairs to one of the piers, we took out the gauge. And so I think Pacific Tsunami Warning Center approached staff and asked to put the gauge back and enter into this license with the state.
Okay. You know, I guess my concern is I just want to make sure that everything that our state needs to be able to have good data to inform the public of what may or may not be happening is important. And I sure hope it wasn't because we had a paper license that expired that they removed the equipment.
No, that wasn't the reason. I think they removed it because of, I think the agreement had lapsed, but they kept on after the agreement. And it was only when we did renovations to the pier that the gauge was removed. And I believe that was in 2018. And so they want to get everything back in working order.
All right, thank you. I mean, I know there's other gauges around, but I mean, all data is important when you're trying to keep the public informed that they may need to evacuate. So I just want to make sure it wasn't a piece of paper that was stopping this from occurring. Thank you.
Yes, please.
My question is, so we know it's for tsunami, that we can measure the tsunami tremors, but what about other climate changes? Is there a potential that there could be data that's collected from not only this gauge, but maybe from all the other gauges throughout the state that could measure more information on whether it's the king tides or tsunamis or anything that affects ocean?
Yeah, this, from my understanding, this gauge is for tsunami data. Back in October of last year, the board approved the issuance of a right of entry to the University of Hawaii Sea Level Rise Center to place gauges for sea level rise at this same harbor. And so we're working on the ROE now. And UH has expressed interest in placing these gauges at other harbors around the state. So we'll continue to work with them on that.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from the commissioners? Mr. Howard, I just want to confirm that this proposed activity, it falls under one of the exemptions for the environmental assessment.
Yes, we use the exemption that this was a previously existing use, which it was from the year 2000 to 2018.
So it is, you do have an exemption, operation, repairs, or maintenance of existing structures, facilities, equipment, or topographical features involving minor expansion or minor change of use beyond the previously, that was previously existing. That's the exemption you're using?
That's correct.
And they're not proposing to do any additional excavation or construction?
No, all the equipment is in place and all the lines are in place. What they need to do is put the gauge back in the water at the pier and connect it to the equipment that is still at the building.
Very good. Thank you for that response. Any other questions? All right. Is the applicant here? Would they like to say anything?
They're not in the waiting room.
They're not in the waiting room. All right. Are any members of the public here who would like to testify on this matter?
There's no one in
there.
There's
no one. Okay. All right. So, closing the public testimony, would the commission, the board, like to make a motion on this matter?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve the authorization to enter into U.S. government license. Do I have a second? You don't mind, can we make sure that we are including in that a staff's recommendation to declare that this falls under the exemption list?
Yes.
Okay, very good, thank you. I know I'm kind of new with this, so I just want to make sure we're covering that part. Okay, do I have a second to the motion?
Second.
Very good, thank you so much. I have such a great cooperative Okay. A motion has been made by Karen Ono and seconded by Vernon Char. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
Member I'm sorry, aye.
Mr. Ewan, your hand was raised?
For aye.
Aye. And
did you say Ewan?
No.
Ewan, not Ewan.
Ewan.
You
right.
You almost look like Chris, that's why.
I got no. No, I don't.
Member Kanto votes aye.
Okay, and thank you very much, Dean Kanto. So, all right, the motion has been unanimously approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next agenda item is, thank you very much, Dobar. Appreciated your presentation. The next agenda item is item L1. Good morning, Cardi.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the board, Cardi Chang, Chief Engineer, Engineering Division. I'm going to present L1. And before I begin, we just want to point out a typo in the agenda title. There is an erroneous in at the very end of the sentence. So for the record, we just want to correct that. So item L1 is requesting delegation of authority to the chairperson to enter into a memorandum of agreements with the State of Hawaii Department of Defense, Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, or HAEMA, for FEMA Public Assistance Grant Program statewide. So why do we need this MOA? So whenever a state disaster occurs, where that could be a tsunami, flood, lava, forest fire, typically emergency proclamation is issued by the governor, and the departments will assess damages and report to HAEMA. If it reaches a certain threshold, the governor has authority to request for a presidential disaster declaration. And if that occurs, that allows FEMA funds to come available to government agencies through public assistance grants. And typically these grants flow through DOD, HAEMA, as they are the pass-through, and subrecipients such as DNR or other state agencies or the counties are considered a subrecipient. So the subrecipient has to enter into an MOA with the HAEMA to make sure these funds will flow to the department. So the process is that the EP is declared, the departments report damages. If a presidential disaster is declared, these FEMA funds will come available only on a reimbursement basis. So the departments will have to expend their own money. And typically the reimbursement percentage is about 75%. It's that it doesn't make the departments whole, but at least gives them back 75% of what they expended for emergency mitigation and so forth. So these PA grants are not new. You know, they've been around for a long time. It's just that FEMA has now made the process more formalized, where they require a MOA between the subrecipient and themselves. So what we're asking the board is to delegate authority to the chair to allow her to enter into MOAs with HAEMA for PA grants, obviously subject to available funding and attorney general review. But we're also asking, under the same submittal, the chairperson to delegate authority to a designee, which is probably gonna be myself, so that the designee can sign necessary documents pertaining to the grants. There's a lot of documents that are involved whenever we receive grants. The MOA is one, and then there's all these like little documents that need to be related to be signed as well. And I have my staff, Denise Manuel, here, who worked with HAEMA closely, can answer questions.
Very good. Are there any questions from the commission? Mr. Smith?
Yeah, just a real brief question, Cardi. So it doesn't have anything to do with what you're asking for here, but do you think it also means that other state agencies need to do the same agreement so that they can take advantage of funds, you know, like Department of Ag? And
I think the other agencies will have to enter into MOAs, but they might not have to, you know, they don't need the board delegation. They'll still have, the MOA is still required, but I think the only boards are DOA, DHHR, and DLR. Yeah. So the director of, say, transportation or whatever could probably sign off on these MOAs.
Okay.
Yeah. Or the county. I'm not sure how the counties will work, but the counties are also considered sub-recipients of federal funds too. So how it flows from HAEMA to the counties, they're probably going to have to enter into this an MOA as well.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions?
Chair, I have a question. Cardi, you know, in the total federal amount, box number 8 says like 5.9 million, right? 5,960,000 for the total. And then the sub recipient, us receives $93,259.60. Is that normally the ratio of what we receive?
Well, the we can receive up to 75% of the cost. And I think when we say total federal award amount, is that like the total for the disaster? And this particular project, it's not, you know, I think you're asking is how come we only get 92,000 out of 5.9, but I think it's a total disaster amount for the entire state. But this particular MOA pertains to probably a specific project where we look at the hazardous, is that correct?
Yeah. I see. So 5.9 is for the state. What is it for the other states or nationwide compared to?
Because this is per disaster.
Yeah, why don't you come and then I guess what the question is, he's asking totality, how much does typically HIMA? We don't really have that.
No. Hi, Denise Manuel, Engineering Division.
Morning.
It's per disaster. So okay. It's just per disaster. What HIMA does is per disaster, they ask all the state agencies to assess damages. There's an amount of damage assessed for what our department realized, but that is coupled with all the other agencies, entities that have damage. So when HIMA submits for the disaster, they're submitting for the whole state. So that in this particular disaster, we use this as an example because this is the first time that has been brought to us. So that was in particular for this disaster, I think it was only on Oahu and Maui that had damages. And so whatever FEMA identified as the estimated cost for that disaster that was declared for DLNR specifically, they'll look at our particular projects. And this request actually for this particular project, we actually have projects on Oahu and Maui. So this particular sample that was the request where they started these MOAs is actually only for the Oahu projects. We actually have Maui projects also that will have another MOA when those projects go through. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how FEMA chooses to split them up. You could have even multiple MOAs for the island, depending on how many projects it was. As for the amount per how other states get assistance, we don't have that information.
Okay, thanks, Denise. And the real reason why I ask is because I'm not sure when, decision makers are going to declare that sea level rise is a threat to all of our islands in the state. It's already happening, right? A lot of our belt roads are being affected, utilities, right? So I just kind of want to keep a tab on that because that's going to be a significant amount of capital needed to address those issues. You know, in the event, let's say there's a managed retreat inward from our nearshore resources.
I think these are specifically for public assistance grant projects. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. The funds that you may receive for other types of FEMA programs. There's a variety of FEMA programs, and there's hazard mitigation grants, which is maybe what you're thinking of, HMPG grants, or a lot of other different grants. So this specifically that we're coming in today for is specifically for PA grants, which is public assistance grants. And as Cardi mentioned, they're on a reimbursable basis. So the department actually has to come up with the money to actually pay for these first, which actually has been sometimes a contention because just because we have damages to our department's assets doesn't mean we even have the money to upfront pay for the fixing of them. And so there has been issues in the past where we might want to be incorporated into a PA grant asking for assistance, but we can't actually do the projects because we don't have the upfront money to do it. So this is specifically for these PA grant type projects.
Yeah, I get that, and I get the resource point at which you're addressing this. It's just, you know, as an island community, our needs or our threats are very different than continent threats. You know, and that's why I ask about the other states. And as they parse out these kinds of federal funding, you know, who or what entity, maybe it's DLNR, I don't know, but who is signaling to the decision makers that we're facing some real threats to our island communities, to our states, to our resources. So yeah, that's, if anything, just wanted that on the record and on everyone's radar, because I think sea level rise is a massive threat and it's happening right now.
Appreciate that sensitivity, board member Yun.
Yun.
I'm gonna choose to say just call you Kaivi. So
yeah, there you go.
So that I don't get spotted again.
There you go.
Fair enough. But as I understand this, these grants become available when there is a declaration of a disaster, right?
A presidential proclamation.
So you're right, Kaivi. That's a very important point that you raise. And Hawaii is clearly feeling the impacts of climate change, nearshore waters. I suspect, you know, the fires on the continent, the floods, there's got to be some adequate response, and whether there is a declaration, a presidential declaration of disaster. But that is a much larger question, and that's a good point that you raise. Cardi, I was wondering, how long does it take for us to get reimbursed?
Okay, it varies, but why don't you answer that question? Because we had issues in the past. And
yeah.
this is actually one that we're trying to get sooner than later. I actually only recently moved into this section, and in the last couple of years, we realized that there's actually probably a backlog of over 10 plus years of reimbursements. But Haima is on this fast track, and we've actually been trying to clean up. We've been trying to clean up the projects maybe prior to 2020. So there's reimbursements from these previous years. Please understand, some of the projects, like this project we're submitting for today, it happens to be debris removal. So the project was done, the disaster happened and the cleanup happened. And so that's where we're able to now request for reimbursement and process the MOA and get reimbursement. For some projects, there is a damage, and then there needs to be construction, design and construction before you fix the project. So depending on how long that process takes for DLNR to get a consultant, design it, get a contractor and construct it, there's that time, and only after that construction has been completed, then you request for your reimbursement.
Wow, that could be several years.
It could be, exactly. So it's really project specific and the type of damage that was and the type of remediation that was necessary.
I have a question tying in with what Chair just said. So taking that into consideration, is there a time frame that you have to request for this reimbursement before they say sorry? You know, sometimes, I mean, if you're doing your design and before your construction is done, and that's taking 10 years, how long out can we go before they say, okay, your time has lapsed already, we can't reimburse you?
We have to enter in some type of agreement that confirms that FEMA deems this project eligible.
That's what I'm asking for. What is a time frame?
I think this is the first time we're coming to the board to ask for delegation, and that is because what we understand, and I don't know the background, is that this is the first time that FEMA has informed Haima that they need to actually enter into formal agreements with them. Prior to this, we had not been signing this particular document. We've been signing a whole bunch of other documents. So we are actually this is the first round of this. And from what we understand is the attachment to this document is the, subrecipient award memorandum of agreement document. Mm-hmm. And from what we understand is that what we're thinking is that we have to go through several processes to provide enough background information and they do cost estimates. Mm-hmm. And so we're still learning the process. And we believe that when they get to this subgrant application and the cost estimates are in, if this is the point where they would want us to be signing these agreements, which then formalize that we're requesting the money. And then from that point though, then you've said that, yes, we want X amount of money. And then we haven't seen a back end time frame of when you need to spend or, you know, spend the money yet. So we believe that this is probably FEMA's way of formalizing and firming up some of those time frames necessarily that maybe weren't realized before with the lack of documentation.
And I'll just expand a little bit on what you said. So from a strategy standpoint, from a departmental standpoint, say it takes a long time to get a grant back and you know the color, the money will lapse. So if you we encourage, like Todocare incurred a lot of overtime for the lava event. We try to encourage the department divisions to use their special funds. And the reason why is that if they use their general funds, they may not see that because if it comes in it comes 2 years later, it just goes back to the treasury. But if you do their special fund, it'll reimburse the pot that it came from and at least they'll make that pot 75% whole and they'll get it back, you know, sometimes. So we try to tell Jason, if you can, you know, if you incur overtime, pay these guys with special funds and eventually you get it back into that same pot versus having it go to the general, save your general funds.
That's helpful that at least we have an internal strategy knowing the realities of when we'll get the money back or how long the process is. I suspect this is probably for greater accountability just given the amount of disasters that the United States, you know, we're just affecting nationally. So, no, I appreciate the presentation and walking us through sort of this process, because you're right, normally this doesn't come before the board like this. So this is very helpful that at least we have an understanding of, I don't know if we want an understanding. it's kind of like, it may happen during the next administration when we get reimbursed, but I mean, I do understand, you know, this is, and yeah, I can imagine every single MOA coming, hopefully it's between the trees and all the work but I greatly appreciate the work that engineering always does for, you know, getting us as much assistance as we can and timely submitting these applications. So thank you very much for your good work. Any other questions from the board
chair
members?
Just one more thing, Chair, not to ride herd on this, but I just want to read a little bit while we're having this discussion. According to sealevelrise.org, in the next 12 years, sea level will have risen by another 6 inches, 12 years. So if it's going to take us 2 to 5 years to, you know, procure the design and then construction, we're right there at that doorway. Climate.hawaii.gov, chronic flooding will lead to an additional 25,800 acres of land becoming unusable, and 6,500 structures are projected to be at risk due to sea level rise. About 550 cultural sites, 38 miles of major roads, and at least $19 billion in assets will be vulnerable to chronic flooding. So, I mean, I know that these grants are packaged and designed specifically for specific projects. I get that. But I think somehow we need to communicate to our FEMA, HAIMA partners and others that I think we have to broaden the gaze or broaden the scope of some of these project types, because if the data that we have today is correct, we're running out of time. You know, we don't have 20, 50 years to start addressing this. So anyway, I just wanted that on the record because it scares me to death that, you know, this threat is going on now. It's not like, you know, a hurricane is coming. It's already here, right? And our kids will have to inherit these decisions that we make today.
Okay, Evie, you raise a great point. I would urge you to send that information to the President Biden, have him declare a presidential proclamation so we can apply for those funds.
Maybe Chris Ewan can, but...
Yeah, but I bet both of you collectively, you represent the state of Hawaii, get the president to declare a disaster, and then Cardi's gonna submit his application. No, I all kidding aside, you are absolutely right. I mean, there is no doubt we are feeling it now. And by the time there's a declaration, it will be too late. So I think, you know, your point is well taken. We are going to have to start looking for other funds, but at least for purposes of this process, we think that we've got a good path forward. So with that being said, and no further questions, is that correct, Mr. Kaivi?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you for indulging me this time.
Oh, no, there's always time for your mana'o on this. So with that being said, and no further questions, and there's no public comments, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. A motion has been made and seconded to approve the recommendations that the board delegate the authority to the chairperson to enter into memorandums of agreement with the State of Hawaii Department of Defense, Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, and authorize the chairperson to delegate the authority to a designee to sign the necessary documents. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And I see Kaivi's hand raised very high.
Member Kanto votes aye.
Okay, and Member Kanto's voice is loud and clear, so I have a unanimous approval. Mahalo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Who seconded that motion?
I did.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Baby made the motion, I seconded it.
Yeah.
In the waiting room, I have a testifier for J1, which has already been approved.
Oh, okay.
Shall we let her in?
Yes, please let her in. Yes, please let her in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Did you just join the call? Okay.
Roslyn.
Roslyn, are you able to unmute yourself and turn on your camera? Roslyn? Trying. J1.
Aloha, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes. Could you please?
I'm trying to close the YouTube channel. Sorry.
No, no problem. We can't see you, but we can hear you.
It's hard to alternate between the YouTube and the Zoom on my laptop for whatever reason. Sometimes it gets frozen. I apologize.
No problem.
Anyhow, aloha no aboard. I declare that my name is Roslyn Cummings. So on the record, for the record, I am here to just address some questions that I have about the Land Division J-1 number 6-6160. I was just trying to look up, that's why, on the TMK. So it's, when I pull it up on the county map, it's actually in the, it says Hanapepe, but that's actually the Makawele Ahupua'a. So in the beginning, I didn't get to pull it up. I couldn't find it. So I found that it's, my concern was in regards to the change, yeah, because it says microwave station to telecommunication station. And the thing is with the telecommunications.
The first one.
Yeah, it's, sorry, I missed it. I couldn't get
okay.
on it.
Oh, so sorry. Roslyn, we yes. thought you were here for J1, but you're actually here for E1. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
D1. This is, okay.
Did that come up yet?
Singular wireless? All right.
The first item.
Yeah. Go ahead. Now. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I guess my testimony originally was based on not knowing exactly where the location was. So I went back in and it says on the county tax assessment that it doesn't even say it's under state. It's actually under Robinson Family Partners. So I don't know if maybe they made a mistake on the TMK. So this is more, my concerns came from the location, aviation, like, because this is a new type of technology, yeah, being placed from the old one. So it's a replacement of a originally some there's a system there, obviously, and then there's it's going to be replaced. Am I correct? Because it says here from microwave station to telecommunication station. It's happening on Kauai.
Roslyn?
Yes.
Thank you for, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
We're also trying to bring back Land Division, who presented the agenda item, who could answer any questions that you have.
Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna put her back into the waiting room until I can get Russell and Luke back.
All right. So Roslyn, if you wouldn't mind, we're gonna put you back into the waiting room so that we have the right staff people.
Okay, here that's fine. That's
that
fine.
Can answer your questions. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So while we have Roslyn on hold for D1, the next item is item M. And do we have staff here to present that?
Abby.
All right. Okay, Abby, we can see you, but we can't hear you. Still can't hear you.
Better?
Yes. There we go.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Chair Chang, and board members. Hello.
Hello.
I'm here today to present agenda items M1 through M5. I believe there are all month-to-month revocable permits seeking your approval. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer them for you. Thank you.
Board members? Yes, Mr. Smith.
Yeah. Morning, Abby. I just had a couple questions. So on M2, I'm assuming that if this is approved and this applicant can park their aircraft, that you also allow maintenance at that location where the aircraft is parked?
Well, this particular area is parking, aircraft parking only. This entity also has T hangars that we allow them to do their maintenance from. So for this case, for No Victor Aviation, they will not be doing any maintenance in the aircraft tie downs. They will be doing aircraft maintenance in the T hangars that they're already currently renting from the state.
Okay, I understand that on D2. So on D5, since that's a similar situation, and in Waimea Airport, there's no T hangars, can this guy maintain his aircraft at this tie down location?
In the tie down locations, if there's no T hangars and things like that, they'll allow them to do small maintenance. They're not going to be allowed to do heavy maintenance from a tie down location. That is supposed to be primarily for parking, aircraft parking. But I would have to look more into the process and a procedure for each airport if you want me to be precise on how they do maintenance at those airports.
You know, I guess my only concern is, and you know, planes been going in and out of Waimea Airport forever. So my only concern is that the folks that tied on their planes are able to maintain them. And sure. I know that we had a prior issue where the T hangar said storage at first, but maintenance wasn't clear, or how they get access to the hangar. So I just want to make sure that these folks that pay for a place to park their airplane can keep them airworthy so that we don't have situations where they have maintenance problems. So I'm assuming that there's a solution here. I just didn't know what it was. And so I just want to make sure that it's clear what these folks can do when they pay for a place to tie their airplane down.
Sure. And I would prefer to be able to answer correctly and not just make it up as I go along. So if you would give me the opportunity, and I can either, I don't know if you would like me to defer this, or I can send you an email to answer that question, because I actually don't know the process for that particular airport on how they do general maintenance in a parking area. But I would like to be able to get that response to you.
You know, because there are so many planes that go in out of that airport, it's pretty close to my house, that I'm assuming that the issue is addressed. So I'm happy to support this and vote in favor of it. You can just clarify for so that I know. Because, you know, sometimes folks in Waimea, they ask me like, you know, Riley, if I rent a space, how do I keep my plane maintained? So kind of good information for me to know. So if you could just email me, that'd be cool.
I will do that for you today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And then the last question I had is on M4. So, you know, this is an intergovernmental use. So state DOT charges rent to a federal agency when they rent property from us?
We charge if it's break rooms, storage spaces, additional space that they need in. So the areas that we give them to do the business for the airport, that is done with no charges. But and that's part of their contract with the state. But if they ask for additional spaces, those are applicable to the rates and charges.
All right, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions from any of the other board members?
No.
Okay. Testimony. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Commissioner Smith and seconded by Commissioner Ono. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And I see the hands raised of Kaivi.
Both sides.
Okay. And Commissioner Kanto, Board Member Kanto, voting in the affirmative. There's unanimous approval for items M1, M2, M3, M4, and M5. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Land division is in the in
very
the
good. Now. If we could call back Roslyn.
Aloha.
Aloha, Rosin. Thank you for your patience. We now have Land Division on in the meeting. So please, could you please proceed with your testimony and they can answer any questions if appropriate.
Okay. So aloha, Russell of Land. My name is Rosin Cummings. I know how in the Kalaheo Ahupua'a. Moku District of Kona, Moku Puni Kauai. This is pertaining to this agenda of lease for the new singular wireless PCS. Do you know by any chance, is there any type of like when they come in with any type of permit or request with the DLNR, like within your agency, do they provide any type of background on the type of equipment or is there like a breakdown in your agency about what terminology for the communication tower? Do you have any information or background on that in your?
Look, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the project description initially described in the back in 2021 when we took this matter to the board for the original lease? See, this lease is in place already. It's been approved long ago. And what we were coming back today for was a documentation error in the, we intended to reopen in the every 10 years, the appraised value. And so that was what the subject matter was today. But as far as a background on a project, you probably presented it in our submittal and it's written, if you look back on our submittal, we refer to the board date going back as far as January 8th, 2021. And then going again on September 24, 2021. Those items are online and you can look at that and probably there's a project scope there. They're taking over an existing facility that was previously run by, it was Insight who had acquired it from Hawaiian Telecom. And then we terminated the lease and took over the site and then reissued the lease to this entity, AT&T doing business as New Singular, and it's connected with the state emergency communication system. Luke, do you know, can you describe it any better than that?
Yeah, I can add a bit to that. So the original submittal did go into, in more general terms, what the project was going to be. It was also supporting the federal FirstNet system, which is an interconnected first responders communication system. And so in addition to that, they did submit their technical drawings, which detailed every piece of equipment that was going to go onto the tower itself. We didn't append that to the submittal at the time. We generally don't. It's just the technical background information. So we do have that. If your question is pertaining to what kind of equipment is on the tower, if you're talking about other things like what equipment they used to put it up there, they had to do a couple of helicopter drops toward the end of last year to put the new antennas and stuff like that up there. Does that clear?
I guess it's good because it gives clarity. I was trying to look it up last night before I gave any type of testimony. So my concerns came from the background of someone whose family does a lot of holoholona and gathering la'au and stuff in the mountain interior. So I just wanted to make sure that I can look up something. It's really hard to navigate the site sometimes. So thank you for that. So I took notes. I'm going to go ahead and do my research into that type of technology that's being used. And then maybe see, my concern was just the aviation, like the manu, the birds in the area. Because I'm looking up the TMK, it's really inland. And it's actually not in the Hanapepe. It falls in the Makawele Ahupua'a. So thank you guys for your time.
Okay. Yeah. If you have further questions, my contact information is on that submittal. Feel free to call.
Okay. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Mahalo, Roslyn. I appreciate the questions and your testimony. And as Luke said, if you have any specific questions, you can always follow up with him. All right?
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay. Mahalo. Okay. Ms. Ferd, no other business before us? Ooh, lucky. Okay, this concludes our meeting. As there's no further business, if not, I declare the meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much, everyone.
I think it's